annual music sale extravaganza, Saturday at the White Sulphur Springs Fire Hall.
Welcome. It's a local edition. I'm Patrice Rabal, your host for tonight. It's Friday. We made it. The weekend is here. In the second half of the program, we'll be talking about the upcoming music sale that's happening tomorrow at White Sulphur Spring. But first, every other week, we check in with Barry Lewis, who has a column at the Times Herald Record. And this week, we're talking about lox, potato pancakes. He says, don't mess with them. And he's on the phone with us now. Barry, how are you doing? Barry? Oh, I think we lost Barry. We'll try to get him back, but he was talking about pancakes and the upcoming Hanukkah season that starts on Sunday. We'll be right back. We'll try to get Barry.
This week in This American Life.
Being so close to these birds that don't normally allow us to get that close to them was like passing through some kind of force field or something and emerging on their side of the divide and feeling that.
A flock of birds changes one man's life. Another birds changing other people's lives this week.
Saturday at 6 on Radio Catskill.
Support for Radio Catskill comes from Garnet Health Medical Center, Catskills, located in Harris and Calicoon, a member of the Garnet Health System, garnethealth.org, and from listeners like you who donate at wjffradio.org.
Support comes from Forthright Cider, Youngsville. Ciders and mead crafted with locally sourced ingredients. Supporting community charities with a portion of sales through the Solidarity Cider Program. ForthrightCYDER.com.
WJFF Jeffersonville, Radio Catskill. Public radio for the Catskills and Northeast Pennsylvania.
We're back with the local edition. Sorry about that. We had a little mishap. But Barry, are you on the phone?
I'm on the phone. How are you doing?
Oh, doing fantastic. The Hanukkah season is coming up, and lox is always on the menu on the Hanukkah season, I understand. Most people know it as potato pancakes, but tell us more about this delicious meal.
Well, the very, very abridged version of Hanukkah is, it's known also as the Festival of Lights, and it's the miracle of the oil, that there was oil found in a temple that had been destroyed by the Syrians, and it was only supposed to be enough oil in a lamp to last for one night, and it lasted for 8 days, which is why Hanukkah is celebrated for 8 days. So oil has a big part of the festivities, and one of the key foods, and it seems that every Jewish holiday is tied to food, is latkes, or better known as potato pancakes. And basically, it's potato that you've squeezed out as best as you can, you know, most of the water from it, and then you deep fry it. And it'll turn a nice crispy brown, and it can be eaten hot or cold. Traditionally, you either top it off with applesauce or sour cream. It's great for breakfast, lunch, dinner, with or without utensils. It's the perfect food. You know, if McDonald's had figured out how to make this, believe me, you'd be able to do a drive up on the thing.
Right, it's amazing. I mean, my only experience of what I can take, like you mentioned, like lox, the potato pancakes. And it seems that all the holidays always have some connection to food, and food is always centered around it. And you know, like especially we just had Thanksgiving, and just the, you know, the whole holiday is just centered around food. Is that the same for Hanukkah?
Yeah, I think so. Jelly donuts traditionally, and I think a lot of holidays, and we've just come off Thanksgiving, and Thanksgiving is a holiday of families gathering, and it's tradition, and it's comfort. You know, turkey is comfort food, mashed potatoes, stuffing, gravy. You know, this is next to meatloaf and mac and cheese, it's probably one of the comfort foods that you have.
Right.
You know, you feel good. Almost everyone seems to like it. You know, I suppose if you're a vegetarian, but pretty much it's the kind of meat that everyone does, either light meat or dark meat. So it's a comfort food. And I think for a lot of the Jewish holidays, you'll have a corned beef or a brisket. You'll have maybe chicken, and you'll have latkes, potato pancakes. And I always consider it the perfect food. And, you know, what I'm writing about is that in this age of, we all worry about eating healthy. And again, we come off Thanksgiving where you really shouldn't. It's not a day to be worrying about your calories.
Right.
You know, you're going to blow it. You're going to have helpings. You're going to have the rolls. You're going to have pie. You're going to have Cool Whip on top of the pie. You know, you're gonna stuff yourself, and it's okay to do that. Well, you know, having latkes, potato pancakes in deep oil is generally speaking not the healthiest food.
Right.
You know, anything in that much oil is not good for you. But, you know, you could take it and you can, you know, some people like to kind of, try to go low fat, or they want to go with, you know, make it processed. And my feeling is, you know, don't ruin a good thing.
Right.
You know, leave it alone. Don't worry about it being low fat. Don't worry about, you want oil-soaked, deep-fried latkes. You know?
Right.
You want, these are the kind of things that, Your arteries will harden just by looking at the oil.
Right. Now, you know, and when the holidays come, and you say, especially with food, is always tradition in cooking. Like this Thanksgiving for us, I'm Hispanic, I'm Latino. My wife and her mother and my daughter were making pasteles, which is a tradition, you know, with bananas made with wrapped and everything. Anyway, this is a tradition of them cooking it for the holiday season. Is there a same tradition like that for the potato pancakes for Hanukkah?
Yeah. Now, my grandmother used to take the potatoes, and she would use, you know, there was no, you didn't have any food processors, so you would take the potato, would use a potato grinder, and you would start rubbing it, and you know, and so instead of using this thing that would slice, shred, or puree potatoes, she would take a potato grater, and you know, you start grating the potatoes, your hands are getting closer to the grater.
Right.
So, you know, eventually you're going to shed some blood. So there's you know, people talk about having it in the game. Well, if you're going to make the traditional potato latke, you're probably going to have some blood in the game because you're going to start scraping to the point that you're getting close to the hands. Well, you know what? That's part of the deal, too. And
right.
I don't want to say that was Nanny Ethel's secret recipe, but I don't know. Maybe that's what gave the potato latkes that special something taste that you just can't duplicate.
Right.
But, yeah, there is a tradition to cooking it. And, you know, everyone makes – there are certain people, like we were talking earlier, your more traditional potato pancake, I think, is larger.
Right.
Where – generally, I think a tablespoon of the batter goes into the oil, and you know it spreads out a little bit. But generally speaking, that's about the same size of what your latke would be like.
Right, right. It's, my own experience of like the potato pancakes was from the former Rock Hill Diner they used to have in Rock Hill. They made fantastic pancakes, potato pancakes there. Now this tradition of the potato pancake and you know the Hanukkah tradition is coming up. It starts on Sunday on sundown. Now, is there a do or do not with the potato pancakes? Is there things you can't put on it?
Yeah, don't put peanut butter on it.
Okay.
you know, don't. I guess some people are going to go with jelly.
Right. I put usually in the diner, they sell it with applesauce.
Applesauce, right.
Yeah.
Now, you know, I think if you want to go wild, you could put chunky applesauce as opposed to the traditional plain applesauce. You know, throw caution to the wind and do that. But there, you know, I don't think I would put avocado on top of it. You know, you don't want to fruit it. Don't make it a California style, latke, where you're just gonna decimate the thing.
Right.
You don't want to do that. I don't want organic latkes with chives on top of it.
Right, right. Maybe you do like a fusion one or something. Maybe you know, like
yeah, you know I want and don't use canola oil, don't use peanut oil, you know, don't use sunflower oil. You know, we're talking hydrogenated, stick-to-your-ribs, saturated, fat-filled oil.
Right.
You know, as I said, it'll crisp your latkes, it'll harden your arteries. That's the kind of stuff that you want.
Right,
you know,
right.
And that really is, and I don't know, you know, you would ask somebody, well, how many would you make of it? There's never leftovers.
Right.
You know, the latkes will be gone.
Right.
There's always room for another latke.
Right.
It's amazing. I mean, if you do have leftovers, they're not going to go too long because you don't have to reheat them. They are so delicious.
Right. Right. And it's fantastic. I said you have this tradition that's around center of food, and once you smell it in the air, it just brings back so many memories. Like smelling the food my wife was cooking on Thanksgiving, it just brought back so many memories of my family's tradition and just them cooking and just you know. And that's the amazing thing with smells and food and holiday traditions. Just brings back all those memories that you had in the past.
Yeah, and I think explain to me because I think I've had it. The one you were talking about, your wife makes with
right.
the bananas. That give me that one again.
It's called pasteles.
Right.
So sometimes it's a mashed banana thing, and I don't know what else goes in it. I know sometimes they wrap it with banana leaves, or sometimes they wrap
yes.
it with just regular paper, and it gets boiled, and they love it. I'm not a huge fan of it, to be honest with you. I grew up on it, but I just never took to it. My wife loves it. My daughter loves it. So it's sort of a tradition with the Hispanic and the Latino community, especially around this time.
But it's a comfort food.
Yes.
Wife and family and that tradition. And this is an interesting, you know, Hanukkah always, Jewish holidays always move. You always hear people say,
yeah.
Oh, it's coming early. It's coming later this year. Well, this is an interesting weekend because, you know, we all had Thanksgiving and we're probably going to have leftovers tonight.
Right.
And we're probably going to have leftovers tomorrow night. And for those unfortunate souls, we might have leftovers again on Saturday night. And so on Sunday we can start off a little bit fresh by having a Hanukkah meal. So it's another gathering. You just
right.
had gathering. So if you really can't stand your relatives, this is a tough week.
Yeah, it is. It's definitely a tough week.
You know, you thought you had them. You got them out of the house on Thursday. You said, "Dang, ah." And then you realize 3 days later, oh, they're back. When does this ever stop? You know, so, yeah, it's a trying week, but,
right.
you know, we make the best of it.
We can make it. We can make it through.
Yeah.
Yeah, Barry, thank you so much for talking to us. I mean, you write this column for the Times Herald Record every other Sunday. Where else can people find you if they want to keep track of you? Are you on Twitter? Are you on Instagram? Any kind of social media?
Sure, the column is on Facebook. People can go to Facebook and see it. You know, obviously, when I was working at the paper as the editor, there was more of a way to reach me. But you can go, you know, people can go. It's my email is, for the record, is barrylewis@gmail.com. But people can go online and look at the story. It might even be up there now, and because they'll put stuff up early. And, you know, generally speaking, you're looking for people to just have a chance to, you know, there's enough tough news
right.
in the world that I hope that people, you know, turn the page, see the story, and maybe get a chance to smile. And if so, then that's my holiday gift to everyone.
Right. No, I think that's very important. So we have all this hard news and there's some depressing news coming out from the pandemic. It's always good to see something
exactly.
that's heartwarming. And it said brings tradition back, bring family back together for food. Thank you so much for Barry Lewis. His column comes out this Sunday on the Times Herald Record. Thank you very much for talking to us. We'll talk to you in 2 weeks.
Be well, take care, and everyone have a happy holiday, and drive safe this weekend.
All right. Thank you so much to Barry. We'll be right back. This is the Local Edition.
Sullivan Renaissance thanks the volunteers in local towns and villages who model civic engagement, teach young people the importance of taking pride in their surroundings, and involve them in taking care of the community. From individual volunteers to service and faith-based groups, municipalities, and schools, the seed of community pride has been sown. Sullivan Renaissance is a grassroots beautification and community development initiative. More information at sullivanrenaissance.org or on Facebook and Instagram. Paid for by Sullivan Renaissance.
Okay, we're back with the Local Edition. Community news for the Catskills in Northeast Pennsylvania. We have a report from the New York News Connection about New York filmmaker reflects on upcoming Indian boarding schools documentary. A team of New York-based filmmakers is producing a documentary about reclaiming indigenous heritage told through the experiences of an 18-year-old descendant of a U.S. Indian boarding school survivor. The story centers around Koo Stevens, a top-ranking Nevada athlete who organized a run along the 50-mile escape route that his grandfather, Frank Quinn, took in fleeing from the Stewart Indian Boarding School. The Remaining Native is the title of the film, which director and producer Paige Bethman, who is a Mohawk and Oneida, says it's named after the idea of the use of his legs to preserve his identity, something that she feels indigenous people are struggling with.
Trying to preserve our cultural identities, our tradition, our language, because of how many obstacles the United States has put in front of indigenous people to like get rid of that aspect.
The film also follows the first federal investigation into U.S. boarding schools where Native American children were brought to and then abused if they spoke their native languages. It's estimated that there were nearly 500 government-funded Indian boarding schools in the nation, including in New York State. Bethman's great-grandmother, who also is a U.S. residential school survivor, Bethman says making this feature has helped her understand the complexities of her culture, identity, and community.
That's what this film has brought to me, is that pride in being Native American, but also rebuilding a sense of myself that I felt like I've lost for so many years.
Production for Remaining Native started shortly after more than 1,300 unmarked graves were found near the sites of former Indian residential schools in Canada. Bethman notes that the policies such as boarding schools and land removal were designed to disenfranchise indigenous people.
The biggest gap of understanding is the fact that we are here despite all of those obstacles that we've faced, that we're not just something that is a relic of the past.
The team plans to embed themselves in the community in a new year to keep closer eye on the investigation at Stewart Indian Boarding School. Bethman says the film will be released as early as 2023. More information is at remainingnativedocumentary.com. And that report comes from Michaela Skevitt. More on the New York News Connection report, older rural New Yorkers need greater healthcare access. A new report shows that rural New Yorkers face disparities in access to healthcare and advocates for older residents. Says it underscores the need for action on a statewide level. AARP New York compiled data which showed rural New Yorkers ages 50 and older are less healthy and more likely to be living with disability compared to residents of urban areas. AARP New York State Director Beth Finkel says access to doctors is a big problem.
If you're not regularly monitoring your health, if you're not seeing a physician on a regular basis, you're going to have a problem. No one's going to be there to be able to say to you, your cholesterol is too high.
The report notes that half as many critical access hospitals for rural New Yorkers than for New York City residents. AARP is recommending tax credits and grants to link more rural homes to emergency medical services and increase funding for nutrition programs and transportation services. Rural New York generally has a larger share of older adults than urban areas, according to State Senator Rachel May of Central New York, who chairs both the Aging and Rural Resources Committees. She says working in rural healthcare must become more sustainable.
The number one reason is the same reason as in cities. We just don't have enough people going into healthcare, especially long-term care, to meet the need now, let alone the increased need in the future.
Finkel says AARP also is pushing for increased access to telehealth technology equipment and training and subsidies for low-income rural New Yorkers to help them afford devices.
We're all going to need more internet services, broadband. We're going to make sure that we can get telehealth. And you can't get telehealth if you don't have the internet.
This report comes from Michaela Skevitt from New York News Connection. I'm Patricia Bob for Radio Castle. We'll be right back.
On this week's Wait, actor Stephen Fry tells us the downside of narrating the Harry Potter books.
A man yelled at me across the street when I was in London, "My children go to bed with you."
I'm Bill Curtis. Join us for the news quiz that's a lot less offensive in context. That's Wait, Don't Tell Me from NPR.
Sunday morning at 10 on Radio Catskill.
Okay, we're back on the local edition. I'm Patricia Bao, and I'm joined in the studio with Jason. Jason, how are you doing?
Hey, Patricio. How are you doing on Friday? It's Friday.
It's Friday.
And I hope you had a good Thanksgiving.
I had a fantastic Thanksgiving. It was quiet, which is the way I like it. And how about you?
I had a good one. I did a bit of a break between a couple of very busy days because the day after Thanksgiving for us, that's the day that we set up the Radio Catskill music sale, the WJFF music sale that returns to the White Sulphur Springs Fire Hall. It's such a big sale, it takes a whole day to set it up. So all day at the firehouse, we had volunteers there working on it, getting everything ready for people to go in first thing tomorrow morning and buy. Doors open at 11. People will be lining up. But before that, it's going to be cold. If you're going to be one of these people waiting on the line to be the first ones in, make sure you dress warm. And you're going to want to make sure you're wearing a mask because it's going to be a masked indoor event.
Right. So, you know, that's a big important thing. Mass event because it's indoors for the music sale. So it's happening in White Sulphur Springs. Doors open at 11 o'clock. We have a clip here from John Bachman. You want to set it up, Jason?
Yeah, I mean, John's one of the main organizers of the event. You know, John Bachman and Kurt Knuth, as well as Nick Forte and David Dan, and a bunch of other volunteers. You know, they work on this. But John, Kurt, and Nick and David are working on this stuff all year long. It's been 2 years that we've been gathering stuff for this. So
that's amazing. There's been a lot of stuff there. Go ahead, Jessica. You mentioned the setting up. If folks want to see how things look right now, they can check out Instagram or Facebook. And you have some photos up there now. Check out people setting up and see the collection there.
Yes, that's right. That's right. And you know, I don't know. It looked great. It's weird. It's like it's different every year.
Right.
It's different every year. But it's also the same. You know, it's one of those things you can rely on. Like, there's going to be tapes, there's going to be CDs, there's going to be, you know, musical instruments. And but which ones they are change from year to year. So that's what's cool. So lots of music books. A big table of 8-track tapes. I wasn't expecting to see that. 8-track made a comeback at this sale. The CD section appears to have doubled. Lots of music on CD. And the stereo equipment, hi-fi, CD player, record player.
And musical instruments, I see that.
Yeah, the section with that equipment, that's, I won't say doubled, but it's definitely bigger than it has been in the past. A lot of speakers, a lot of stereos. So anyway, here's John Bachman as recorded a couple years ago at the setup of one of these sales.
Well, I'm John Bachman. Been helping with music sale for a long, long time now, working on all the equipment, hi-fi gear and musical instruments and that kind of thing that comes in for the sale. We've got a lot of good stuff this year, some great old stereo equipment, and we've got some really good turntables that we'll be going up for the silent auction. We've got some really cool old vacuum tube stuff, and we've got just your usual CDs and players and cassette players and FM tuners and amplifiers, a couple of home theater systems.
So this is kind of like a grab bag back here in the device section, correct?
Yeah, we try to take a look at things and see if they're complete garbage or if they kind of light up. But it's sort of as is, some good treasures. We keep the prices really low, so you'll be able to find some good gear cheap here. There's always some crazy stuff that comes in for the sale that we're never quite sure where it came from or where it's going to go. And we kind of watch for the person that buys the thing. And it's, I don't know what someone might do with this, but someone will buy this. If you like old, strange gear, maybe you could pull some cool old parts off it. I don't know, but we love this stuff.
And we've actually got a range of musical instruments, too. You've got a table that kind of has a as-is, priced-as-marked musical instruments. Then over here, you got some more of the higher-end ones, correct? Are these going to be for silent auction?
Yeah. So over here, we've got some great musical instruments. We've got a couple of brass instruments. We've got a really nice mandolin. We've got a bouzouki, which is absolutely beautiful with this great inlay work. We have a nice acoustic six-string guitar. We've got a beautiful accordion, so some great musical instruments. We've got a couple of nice keyboards.
All right, John, any tips for the would-be record buyer coming out tomorrow?
No, well, just look for bargains. There's a ton of great stuff here. The selection of our main records are great, some really, really nice condition stuff. I would say the signal-to-noise ratio of the records this year is really high, lots of really good stuff. Look for bargains, lots of good music to be had, and then for if you're willing to spend upwards of $2 or $5, there's some really, really fine records and generally way, way below what you'd pay if you were shopping on eBay or somewhere. So some real bargains to be had. It pays to get here early. There's usually a bit of a line. There's some real collectors waiting to get in the door. So get here on the early side so you can join the fray and find those records. We start at 11. So I'd say get here at 11 or a little before. That's going to be a chilly day, but we'll try to get you in the door quickly and having fun looking at records.
All right, John, thanks so much for showing us around.
You're welcome, Jason.
Stacks of vinyl, so much vinyl. We've got cassettes and CDs. In the corner, think I saw some wax cylinders. Buyers beaming, two tables streaming, finding title after title. And you're so glad that you came this year. Music sale. Music sale. Instruments, sheet music, and CDs. JFF's best ever yet. Soon it will be music sale.
You know, the WJFF music sale has become something of a tradition. We gather in White Sulphur Springs Fire Hall, friends, neighbors, JFF volunteers, and diehard music collectors. So many familiar faces coming together to celebrate the joy of music. And you know, each year I look forward to seeing all the stereo equipment, music memorabilia, kitschy record sleeve 78s, and waiting in the bin, there's always that one record I've been dreaming about. Just like it was put there just for me. But most of all, when I think about the music sale, I look forward to seeing you. Combing through stacks of vinyl and finding your bliss in a long-forgotten record sleeve. So won't you come on out?
Music sale. Music sale. Records piled high in White Sulphur. Dive in the bin. Give one a spin. Soon.
That's right. The music sale is happening this Saturday. So don't forget, at 11 o'clock, doors open and masks are required. If you have no mask, you would not get into this music sale. That's it for the local edition. Thank you for our guest, to Barry Lewis. And thank you for Jason coming and telling about the music sale that's happening tomorrow. We'll be back on Monday at 6:30. We'll be talking to Sullivan County. And those conversations starts on Monday at 6:30 p.m. If you ever miss a show, we have a podcast. You can find us anywhere you find your podcast: Google, Apple,